Vegas Golden Podcast. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Justin Emerson, and it is game day, not for the Golden Knights. We're recording on a Tuesday. The Golden Knights not in action again until Thursday at Minnesota, but for the second time in Vegas Golden Podcast history, Justin has come up with a game devised to humiliate me and make me look very bad with my hockey knowledge. He failed the first time. I think I did okay, but we'll see about this time.
I mean, that's definitely the intent. The last time, a month or two ago, we did the Golden Knights prospect or sci-fi name generated characters. So we've got a game for a little later on this pod. We're going to see how well you know your Golden Knights history.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. In the meantime, we want to remind you that the Vegas Golden Podcast is brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Born Card, the credit card perfect for passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. And before we get to me taking my L's, let's talk about some W's. The Golden Knights,
nice transition.
Back-to-back winners right now. Sunday and Monday night in Calgary, in Edmonton. Win the Calgary game 5-3 after some late craziness. And I guess it was more of the same on Monday night. The game goes to overtime. The banged up Golden Knights persevere, get, you know, what felt like one of the biggest regular season games of the season. They escape Edmonton to go up 3 points in the Pacific Division standings.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely the biggest game of the season. That was the biggest win so far, by far, I think. Because let's just say they won in overtime, so Edmonton did get a point out of it. But let's just say that they would have lost in regulation. That would have tied them in the standings. It would have put the Oilers with a 2-game lead in the regulation wins tiebreaker, and the Oilers would have still had a game in hand. So it could have been really bad for Vegas, and it wasn't the best case scenario. They, like I said, they still did get that 1 point, and right now the Oilers still have a game in hand, but Vegas has got to be really happy. A win's a win. You will take that every time. They beat Edmonton and Calgary. You said they'd go 2-1 on the road trip, and they did. Maybe not the games they thought. That was a weird loss to the Jets, but no, the Golden Knights are in really good shape. There's 11 games left in the season, and they're still on top of the Pacific and the favorite to win the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. The one problem that I kind of hinted at earlier is news on the injury front has gotten even worse since we've come to you last time. I know we talked a lot about it on last week's podcast, but the injury report does not seem like it's going to be any thinner anytime soon. That's our big topic, is how they deal with this. It seems like so far, though, they've dealt with it pretty well.
Yeah, they're down Mark Stone. We've known that. They're still down Alex Tuch. They thought that he was going to be ready to go against Edmonton. Pete DeBoer said that he had a setback in his recovery, and he left the team to return to Las Vegas for treatment. Chandler Stephenson was a late scratch. We've learned since our last pod that Cody Glass is done for the season. He's had surgery and is looking to be ready to go for opening night. So this team is still taking its lumps, but still chugging along. I mean, they've lost William Karlsson to points this season. They've lost Jonathan Marchessault. They're now, Mark Stone has missed 6 games this season. You know, Nate Schmidt missed 12 at the beginning of the year. Just about everybody's missed some time. Max Pacioretty, Riley Smith, Shea Theodore, Paul Stastny, William Carrier, Ryan Reeves, and Braden McNabb are the only ones to have played in every game this season. So, and here they are, still on top of the Pacific. So they're taking their lumps and just chugging right along.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if that continues or if they hit a rocky road here. But I think that it's been impressive what they've been able to do. I mean, we talked a lot about missing Stone last week. I still think he's the most important guy on the team, the best player at the end of the day. You hate to miss him, but I think it's just kind of amplified by missing all these other guys. When you have those cluster injuries, that's when things can be a problem. They haven't been so far. The schedule about to amp up. I don't know. Doesn't seem like you're too concerned. I'm really right in the middle. I'm trying to get you to talk me through this. How should I feel?
They're fine. I mean, Everybody gets hurt. I mean, in last night's game, they missed, what did we count, 4 or 5 regulars. But, I mean, the Oilers were missing Connor McDavid. So that's worse of an injury than anything that the Golden Knights could withstand. Everybody at this time of year is kind of hurt. They got to play the Avalanche on Sunday. Nathan McKinnon left last night's game. So as far as it goes, the Golden Knights are they're not as top heavy as some of the other teams, and they had been before they traded for Robin Leonard. If Marc-Andre Fleury had gotten hurt, it could have tanked their season. But you know, Mark Stone's missed 6 games now in a row, and they've gone 4-2. If Max Pacioretty got hurt, you know, they've got other people that can step up. So that's, when they talk about depth, this is exactly what they mean. It's not always those guys at the bottom of the lineup. It's the fact that if Stone gets hurt, that they're able to keep going. If Jonathan Marchessault misses 5 games, if William Karlsson misses 8 games, that they don't miss too much of a beat. So, you know, all these guys, I mean, you don't get to pick when injuries happen, but you'd rather they be hurt now than be hurt in 4 weeks when the playoffs start.
For sure. It goes back to a good thing that Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee have been proactive, always looking to upgrade the roster. You know, really have more reinforcements, I think, than most of the teams in the NHL that they've been able to withstand this.
Well, here, let me put it this way. If there was one player that the Golden Knights could lose, that if they lost them, you'd think that it would really hurt their season, probably be Mark Stone, right?
No question.
And they're 4-2. So, and 2 of those went, and granted, a couple of those wins came against the Sabres and the Devils, but they also went on the road and beat Calgary and Edmonton in back-to-back nights. So, I mean, they're clearly in good shape, and if they're playing well now, just think about how well they'll be if and when they get back to full strength.
And I feel like we have an obligatory discussion that we're going to have to do every week for the rest of the podcast now. One area where they maybe couldn't have taken an injury a few months ago. Goalie, I think even with Marc-Andre Fleury struggling, I think the drop-off to Malcolm Subban was kind of apparent, so you could have still made that case that that was the guy they couldn't lose. I think now, even if you're the biggest Fleury proponent in the world, with Robin Leonard, I think that even if he gets hurt or Leonard gets hurt, you know, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, and that was part of why they got Leonard, right? They said that at the trade deadline press conference. They're like, look, if something happened to Marc-Andre Fleury, we didn't feel like our goaltending was good enough. And that's, you know, a not so subtle swipe at Malcolm Subban. And, but it was true. I mean, I don't think that there was a diehard Golden Knights fan out there who would believe that if Malcolm Subban was playing in the playoffs, if he started every game, that the Golden Knights were going very far at all. Maybe they were good enough up front to be able to win a round or two, but they weren't going to win the cup. So now you've got a goalie in Marc-Andre Fleury who has that playoff experience, who's been there, who can do this. Robin Leonard, who has been tremendous for the last 2 seasons and the 3 games he's been in Vegas. So yeah, that was their biggest thing, right? Like we just said, Mark Stone was the guy that you wouldn't want to lose. Before they got Leonard, it would have been Fleury. And now they seem to be doing all right.
Yeah, and if we're on Fleury watch, since he's been so up and down, and to be honest, mostly down this season, he did have a good game in the aforementioned Oilers win that we've called the biggest game of the season. The Oilers weren't exactly crazy prolific on offense.
Sorry, it's the biggest game of the season, but that's going to get supplanted about 3 or 4 times before the season's
over.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I'm trying to give Fleury some props here.
He played well last night in what was the biggest game of the season. The Golden Knights held Leon Draisaitl without a shot. Connor McDavid didn't play, of course, which helped. But also 2 weeks ago, he shut out the Oilers when both of those two were at full strength too. So yeah, you're right. He played very well in a time that he hadn't played very well in the 2 games prior. And maybe there was a little of public sentiment shifting in Robin Leonard's direction.
Yeah, since we're going to be running a story on Wednesday that you've already teased on social media, I guess not on the podcast, you know, about Fleury versus Leonard, excuse me, I just kind of wanted to give the upside and the downside. So yeah, if you're a Fleury guy, you got to be enthused with how he played against Edmonton. But if you want to even nitpick at that, I think that Vegas's defense stood out even more last night in totally shutting down Leon Draisaitl, holding the Oilers to 24 shots on goal. So, I mean, really, and he made a couple really strong saves that made any highlights package, but I don't feel like he had to do too much last night. If you really want to, if you're going to be anti-Fleury, I think that's what you would say. If you're pro-Fleury, he came through, won a huge game, easier case to make. But if you're anti, I don't feel like he had to do a whole lot against the Oilers.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I mean, he, you know, they scored on their, I think it was their second shot of the game or their first shot of the game or something like that. But you're right, the defense played well. They only allowed 3 shots against the Oilers in the first period. Oilers put a little push in the second half of the game, but you know, 24 shots is something that a goalie should, you know, save 23 or 24 of those. And, you know, he saved 22 of those. So he didn't have to do a whole lot, but he did what he was asked to do, and they won the game because of it. He had a monster save in overtime, which helped keep the game. And then the Golden Knights went the other way and scored. So, yeah, Fleury was part of the reason that they won last night for sure.
All right, so all good on the goalie front. He did struggle in the 4-0 loss to the Jets, but yeah, so did the entire team.
Yeah, nobody looked good that night.
So Fleury and Leonard, no real separation created in this last set of three games. The next two we have coming up, though, for our week ahead segment. We talked about how tough of a road trip this looked like and really kind of just isolated the first three. Maybe we should have looked lumped in these two, because this looks really tough. Thursday at Minnesota, Sunday at Colorado. Two teams that have played the Golden Knights very tough historically. Colorado looking, you know, right with St. Louis and Vegas, kind of the class of the West. One of those three teams are highly favored to make the Stanley Cup final. And Minnesota is playing extremely well lately. They're making their own playoff push. Certainly looks like a tough couple of games to me.
Yeah, 16 games all time between the Golden Knights and the Avs and the Wild. They've won five of them. So these are two teams that really have had the Golden Knights number. And the Golden Knights played well against the Avalanche 2 years ago when the Avalanche weren't as good. But the last 2 years, some of the worst blowout losses that the Golden Knights have faced have come at the hands of Colorado. So that's not going to be an easy matchup. The Wild, for whatever reason, have just never been a good matchup for the Golden Knights. All time, the Golden Knights have scored 1.9 goals per game. That's 15 goals in 8 games. That is the fewest goals per game of any team in the league against. So, yeah, they don't score a whole lot against the Wild. They give up quite a bit to the Avalanche, 24 goals in those 8 games. So, this is bad time to have to face two teams that historically you haven't done well against, especially considering that the Wild shut out the Golden Knights last month 4-0 in one of the worst games the Golden Knights have played this year. Golden Knights did beat the Avalanche back in December, but then got domed by Colorado a week later. So, yeah, not great. You never want to have to play these two teams, but you got to face them both 3 times a year, and here they come.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. I think you missed your first chance to embarrass me, because if you said they played them, 15 or 16 times? And I know they've struggled. I've been at a lot of those games. I still would have thought they'd won more than 5. So that's pretty amazing, which is good as they've been.
And one of those wins was a shootout against the Wild. So if we're looking at it, only 4 in regulation. That's not great.
Absolutely. And the Wild, actually, as of right now, we're recording on Tuesday again, in the playoffs, the second wild card, they have played one more game than Vancouver. But you just look at some of their underlying metrics, and even more straightforward things, their goal differentials now even for the season. They've been a really tough out the last month and a half. So I think beyond just the historic things, you're catching them at a bad time. I guess the flip side is you could say maybe you're catching Colorado at an okay time. They've been hot too. They've won a lot. But as you said, McKinnon left the game. Maybe the Golden Knights catch their second break in what I guess would be 6 days.
If they don't have to play McDavid or McKinnon in the span of a week, that would be good for them.
So, yeah, that's kind of the outlook on those two games. How do you see these falling? The Golden Knights have just been so good, it's hard for me to pick against them in both. But equally, I mean, the odds are got to be highly against them winning both of these against two good teams.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you. And not to play both sides too much, on the pod last week I said that they'd lose to the Oilers. I think we agreed on that. But yesterday in the office, you had asked me if I still felt that way. And I'm like, you know, I just got a gut feeling about the Golden Knights here. So I don't have that gut feeling against the Wild or the Avalanche, honestly. I don't think that they win both of these. I think that they'd be good if they could win one of them. You know, the Avs have been on... Man, I don't think that they beat the Avalanche on Sunday. I think that's a bad game for them, having to go to Colorado on a Sunday afternoon. Avs will be ready to go. Wild, that's the one that I can't quite decide on. I think they'll get a point out of it. I think... whatever. I'll say that they win. I say that they beat the Wild and lose to the Avs.
Yeah, you just isolate it just to this season, and the two games with the Avalanche, they've lost 13-4.
Yeah, it's not a good matchup. I mean, they're just too high-powered of a team for Vegas, I think. And, you know, that was... They played them back before Vegas kind of found their... Maybe it's a little different, but no, that's a team that you hope doesn't get to the conference final, and you hope that maybe a better matchup eliminates them if you're Vegas, so you don't have to face them in the playoffs.
Absolutely. I think that is probably, in my opinion, the most likely conference finals, but we see in the hockey playoffs every year a lot of unexpected things occur. And having said all that, it seems like I've made great cases for the Avalanche. I actually have made the decision that I'm going to go the opposite of you. And I decided that even before I said it. I've really liked this Wild team down the stretch. Even the games they've lost, I feel like they've played pretty well. And they've kind of been coin flips a lot of the time.
Could say the same about Vegas, though.
Yeah, absolutely. They're so desperate. I think they're in an even more desperate situation than Vegas right now, knowing you know, they're just clinging to a playoff spot. I think they're a little healthier than Vegas. I don't think they have any major injuries right now, so I think that's going to be a great game. And I think Minnesota ekes it out. I guess maybe my I'm just colored by, I was at a bar and I watched a lot of their game against the Capitals, what, I think like 10 days ago. They lost by a goal, but I really think they outplayed them, especially late. So I don't know, I've really been smitten with the Wild, and I'm gonna go with them to beat the Golden Knights here. And then as far as the Avalanche, I think this should be a great game. I think, you know, if I'm trying to play amateur psychologist, which I never think is really a good idea in betting, but everyone tries to do it anyway, somebody else will try to do it. I think Vegas will be focused for that game after the way the Avalanche kind of embarrassed them twice. I think they've both kind of separated themselves. They know this is a team they have to get over, and I just look at it as kind of a coin flip game where I think maybe Vegas finishes the road trip on a high.
Oh, okay. So we both think 1-1, but different teams going either way.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to look back on those. Next week, we'll try to come to you early in the week to talk about the Golden Knights next week. But I guess in the meantime, we always like to escape the fortress, but as we teased earlier, instead of escaping the fortress, we will be, I guess kind of escaping the fortress and going into the arcade.
So we're going to play a game here. And what's going to happen is I have 10 questions for Case, and all of these things happened with the Golden Knights. He has to decide whether or not they happened in year 1, year 2, or year 3. If you want to say 2017, 18, 18, 19, 19, 20, whatever. Now, I'm not trying to trick you with any of these. None of them happened in the off season or anything like that. They all happened during the regular season. So here we go. Are you ready?
Okay. So I just have to say first season, second season, or third season.
Second season or third season. I'm going to keep your score. Let's see if you can get a passing grade.
What's the over-under of how what is a passing grade? I think we need to set that ahead of time.
Well, I think you're going to do well. I think I'll set the total at right at 8. I think you're going to do well.
I would take the under, but I'm not going to throw it. I'm going to do my best.
All right. So I'm going to start you off with this one. In which season did the Golden Knights trade a first-round pick? First, second, or third season?
Second.
Well, I thought you would get that one, which is kind of why I started you off. It was the first season.
Oh, for Tatar?
Yep. They traded a first-round pick for Tomas Tatar. They traded
and then Branstrom for Stone. I just started thinking Stone. Okay. Well, there you go.
Okay. We're off to a bad start.
I need to think it over a little more. I just saw Mark Stone, and I didn't even try to think of who they actually traded him for.
Mark Stone somehow did not go for a first-round pick.
Well, he kind of did. Branstrom was a first-round pick.
He was the prize of that one. All right. 0-1. So as far as that 8 goes, you don't have a whole lot of room for error the rest of the way. All right. In which season did Maxime Lagasse record a win?
First season.
That is right. You got that one.
I remember that stretch very well when all the goalies were getting hurt. And I have fond memories of Maxime Lagasse.
He recorded 6 wins in the first season. He played one time last season and did not win, and signed with Boston as a free agent this summer. So, all right. 1-2.
All right.
In which season, 1, 2, or 3, was a Russian-born player on the opening night roster? That one's a little tough, huh?
I think this is kind of a trick question because I'm fairly certain it's not the first season because the obvious guy was not on the opening night roster, if I remember correctly. I'm going to say, God, but then I can't think of any other Russians. This one's extremely tough. I'm going to say this season.
That is correct.
It was Zikov?
Valentin Zikov was on the opening night roster. All right. And I was thinking that you might have said year 1.
Because of Ship-A-Shev.
Ship-A-Shev was not on the opening night roster.
Yeah, I mean, I have the advantage of the first season, I was pretty much covering them like every single game. So I remember a lot the first couple months, and I remember Ship-A-Shev came a little late.
Yep, that is right. So Vadim Ship-A-Shev was not on the opening night roster. In year two, Valentin Zhikov was claimed off of waivers about midway through the year, and Nikita Gusev signed an entry-level contract during the playoffs, but obviously never played. Zhikov did make the opening night roster this year. So 2 for 3.
All right.
All right, in which season, year 1, 2, or 3, did Jonathan Marchessault lead the team in assists? And obviously, any stats numbers are current as of last game for this season.
Hmm. This one. I know he led the team in goals last year, I want to say. So that makes me hard to believe he also led them in assists. I'm going to say... Yeah, what if this is a trick question and it's this year? But I don't feel like it. I'm going to say the first season.
It was the second season.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In year one, it was David Perron who led the team in assists, though Marchessault was second in points. He had 75 points, 48 assists to David Perron's 50. Last year, he did lead the team in points, goals, and assists.
Wow, that's why I threw that one out.
He was tied
with
Riley
Smith.
He was
okay.
Tied with Riley Smith last year. So.
Well, so much for the 8.
Well, you can still push.
That one was difficult. The first one was just not thinking it through. That one, that was difficult. I wouldn't have gotten it no matter what.
All right. In which season, 1, 2, or 3, did Malcolm Subban record his career high in wins?
Oh, man. I feel like he's won about the same every year.
you're right, by the way, that it's very close. In the 3 seasons, he's had 8, 9, and 13 wins.
Oh, 13, though. I would have guessed it wasn't that much different. God, he was hurt so much year one. I feel like he was the best year one, but... I'm going to go with year one. Why not?
That is correct. He won 13 of his 19 starts in year one. So he was hurt. He didn't play very much, but he won a lot.
Yeah, especially down the stretch. I mean, he...
8-10-2 last season, and he was 9-7-3 before he was traded this season. He does not have a win.
Okay. Luckily, I pulled that one out. I'm just going for 500 at this point.
Okay. You're doing... Okay, we're halfway done, and you are 3-2. Okay. So you're doing all right. In which season did the Golden Knights lose the first game of the season? They lost on opening night one time.
The second season.
That's right.
I remember the Flyers game. Now, topical because the Flyers are the hottest team in the NHL.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
Still can't lose.
They obviously beat the Dallas Stars in their first ever game in year one. They beat the San Jose Sharks on opening night this year, and they lost to the Philadelphia Flyers. Bad start to last year. Fleury got pulled. Not exactly what you want there. All right. In which season did the Golden Knights sign Zach Whitecloud to an entry-level contract? He signed his contract during the season, this season, last season, or the year before.
Hmm.
I'm not trying to trick you with the entry-level contract or anything.
Okay,
like
I was trying. That
is,
throws
his
out one
entry-level
thing.
Contract is when he entered the organization. So that wasn't trying to trick you there.
I'm gonna have to say, it's first or second. I'm gonna say the first.
That is right. Okay, he signed as an undrafted free agent out of Bemidji State in the first season.
You were trying to trick me in a different way with the Jimmy Schultz, right?
Jimmy Schultz signed as an undrafted free agent in year two, both out of college and. Well, the college season just ended for a couple of teams, so they might get another one this year.
Yeah, see, I know a little bit. I know there's like at least one person listening to this that's known all of these because they're a Vegas Golden Knight diehard. But
all right, 3 more. Which season did the Golden Knights win a game on an overtime penalty shot? It's happened once in franchise history.
Oh, I can remember them. Oh, that was a shootout that I remember. Overtime penalty shot.
Yep.
Man, I'll probably kick myself when I hear this because it is just not – it's not jumping out to me right now. I guess I'm going to have to say the first season.
That is incorrect.
Second season?
That is correct. Jonathan Marchessault was granted a penalty shot in overtime when the offending player on the Ottawa Senators, Mark Stone. Funny enough.
Oh wow. What month was that?
That was in October. That was October 28th of 2018.
Huh. In Ottawa?
Nope. Here.
Wow. Okay.
Very popular clip of him doing that, and it's in a lot of Eric Halla tribute videos of Halla jumping over the bench and tackling Marchessault, and them both falling to the ice.
I mean, so, I think that means I had to have been at the game, and yet I don't remember.
I mean, you probably
this.
Were. It was before I came on. So.
It was funny. I remember a thing about. I remember talking to Jonathan. This was the first thing that came to my mind, and it had to be this game. I just couldn't place it. I remember Jonathan Marchessault making a penalty shot and him talking about it afterwards. But I was thinking it was against the Canucks, and then I was like, maybe it was in regulation. But, huh. All right, well, yeah, I'm going to have to look up my story from that game to remember it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, too. And funny thing about that, it was Mark Stone who either hooked him or tripped him or whatever it was. And then once Stone was traded here, he went – and the Golden Knights were kind of tweeting out their highlights from the year, and it's like, who could forget this penalty shot? And then he had replied to it and said, without me this isn't possible, so you are all welcome. All right, two more. 7-3, the under's gonna, or seven and or five and where are we at here 5-3, yeah, with two more, so the under's gonna hit. Way to go, Case. I trusted you.
that was too high of a number. I said it right away.
All right, this one's more of a 50-50 proposition because it's a little bit easier in that regard. Because he wasn't on the team in year one.
Okay.
This year or last year, did Max Pacioretty get into a fight?
I'm pretty certain to say I was not at this game. So I can't ever remember him fighting. I'm going to say this year.
He has been in two fights as a Golden Knight, and they were both this season.
Okay. Then
he fought Dan Hamhuis of Nashville on October 15th, and then he fought Lawson Krause of Arizona on December 28th. The Krause one was barely a fight, but it registered, and yeah. So Max Pacioretty has gotten into two fights as a Golden Knight both this season.
Yeah, I just seem to remember it being a little more recent. So, okay, I salvaged that one at least.
All right, last one. Another Jonathan Marchessault one. I didn't realize I went so heavy with him. In which season did Jonathan Marchessault not record a hat trick? He's had a couple of hat tricks as a Golden Knight, so it is, this again isn't a trick. In two of the seasons he has recorded a hat trick, which one has he not?
Yeah, it would have to have been the end of the season, but I think that, I mean, if he did it would have to be the end of the season. I think it was the first season he didn't have one.
First season he did have one, or
he didn't?
That is correct.
All right, there
he
we
has
go
two hat tricks. He had one against the Pittsburgh Penguins on January 19th of 2019, so that would have been year two. And then he had one on December 3rd of this season at New Jersey. So, yeah, overall, not too bad.
7-3?
You went 7-3. You missed the first round pick question, which I think if you would have given it a little bit more thought, you would have got it. You just jumped into the
answer. Yeah, I know that sounds like a cop-out, but I just thought, oh, Mark Stone. Mark Stone's good.
I think that if that one was later in the quiz, you would have gotten it. Led the team in assists, Marchessault, you got wrong. And
that one I would have always missed.
And which game did they win a penalty shot in overtime? Which, again, I'm going to go back and look and see, because that was before I got on the beat, which means you were almost certainly
I'm reading my story right now, because I'm very disappointed I missed that. This really was, I'm not even saying this was the game that I got in my mind. I had a hard time placing. And a lot of these run together, but
they
I would...
did win in a shootout against the Canucks about like 2 weeks earlier.
Okay, maybe
Marchessault had the winner of that one. But yeah, it wasn't an overtime penalty shot this one was.
I thought I remembered games I covered better. Like, I'm reading the story and I have no recollection of actually writing the story. So maybe I'll tweet out this link with the podcast in case anyone wants to see it. Golden Knights homestand, officially a success after win over the Senators. And there's a great photo of Eric Halla.
Is it Eric Halla?
Tackling
I'm telling you, it's kind of a, it was kind of a, it was a big moment.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess I'm losing my mind to get that one wrong. But what can you do? That was fun. 7-3, I'll take it, even though it doesn't eclipse Justin's expectations.
Well, I maybe it's on me for believing
it. That was an inflated line. All right, well, we'll see. Maybe we'll do another game before the end of the year, especially if we have a long playoffs. So we'll have to see. I guess I shouldn't go too far out, though. We got one more game to play this week before.
Yeah, we got our Shining Knight competition, and you're again, not going to be happy with this game.
I kind of have. I forgot who you picked as usual, but I know my guy wasn't exactly one of his best weeks.
You had Max Pacioretty. He had the goal against Calgary. I had Jonathan Marchessault, who had the empty net goal against Calgary, but also a 2-point night against the Oilers, which included the game-tying goal with about 3 minutes left in the game.
Jonathan Marchessault is torturing me this week. Can we go back a couple weeks ago when he was supposed to get traded? I'm done with this guy.
Yeah, just it's Jonathan Marchessault apparently not showing you a lot of love in this pod today.
Oh, okay. Well,
all right. And it is, so that increases the score to 10-5, which with 4 weeks left in the regular season officially clinches your Shining Knight champion.
Well, what are we going to keep it going?
Yeah,
in the
you're
playoffs?
Right. We'll keep it going.
Okay,
in the playoffs.
I guess
right,
we can restart. Right. Regular, you can be regular season champion.
Regular season champion. I'll hang the banner like the Predators did. and it is my turn to pick first. And because I have such a big lead, I think I'm going to throw up a bit of a heat check this week. And I like the way that Nicholas Waugh has been playing.
Okay.
You're
all
like,
right.
This is just disrespectful to me right now.
It is only two games. So.
It's only two games. This one counts for Minnesota and Colorado. So less, you know, you got the more random variation with the smaller sample. So yeah, I'm going to go with Nicholas Waugh. I really like how he's been playing with Pacioretty and Carlson on that line. He did have that first goal against Edmonton, a nice little tip. The last three games, he has had more shots in each game than he had in any other game of his career. So he's playing with some confidence right now. So this is a bit because I have a big lead, but also because I think he's playing really well, and I think he'll get rewarded again. He was on the power play.
All right, we still do have, it looks like, 3 or 4 weeks left somehow.
So
I
just
can't
want to
just
see,
burn
you've used
anyone.
William Karlsson, Jonathan Marchessault, Max Pacioretty, Riley Smith, and Mark Stone. Pretty much, you know, the big five here. only missing Paul Stastny out of the top six. So you are definitely, you're going for playing the percentages.
Yeah, this is brutal. Maybe I just try to... There's no one even really to save anymore at this
like
point.
Yeah, like you still have both goalies. Still have Shea Theodore. Nate Schmidt's playing well.
Yeah, I wanted to do something crazy and take someone that shouldn't even be taken, but I'm gonna try to salvage a few points. I'm gonna go with one of the goalies. I'm pretty sure. Well, the way I set it up,
the way it's going,
I set it up.
If they keep going back and if they keep alternating, that it'll be Leonard against the Wild. And you think the Wild are going to win, and then Fleury against the Avs.
I'm going Fleury. I think
you believe in your guy.
He played at least one of those Avalanche games, if
this
not
season?
Both. So yeah, so
yeah,
he got beat
that's
up.
Not a great.
No, I know, but I mean, he's going to get. It's a Marc-Andre Fleury revenge game. So I'm going to go with Fleury because I think they're beating the Avalanche, and I think he'll be in net.
I like it.
All right.
I like it a lot.
So
fun pod this week.
Yeah, definitely a good time. We will have Fleury versus Waugh. In the Shining Knight.
Basically the Battle of Quebec here.
Oh, yeah, good point.
We got two of our French language speakers.
Yeah, and another French language speaker, Jonathan Marchessault, has been my enemy this whole podcast.
I don't think we mentioned William Carrier. You know what? He's played every game, so we did mention him on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
all right.
There we go.
All right, well, that does it for this week's Vegas Golden Podcast. We'll be back early next week. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks for listening.